Whether you're a fan of bourbon, scotch, tequila, rum, gin, whatever it is, VSLiquor.com has you covered. And here's the best part. Don't leave your home. VSLiquor.com is the most reliable alcohol delivery there is. Make sure to type in the code SPORTS when you check out, and you'll get 15% off your initial order. VSLiquor.com, proud partner of the Sliwa Show. All right, Kirk, how quick things change. So I said it was 2-0. Astros over the Dodgers. By the time we come back, we got a 2-2 game. So Dodgers finding ways to score. Mookie Betts was walked on 4 pitches. And I think was that Muncy with an infield single to put the Dodgers to tie things up at 2. All right, perfect transition. Want to welcome in Pedro Mora, a senior writer from The Athletic, covers the Dodgers. Pedro, thanks for doing this, bud. Appreciate you joining the show. How are you doing?
Hey, no problem, guys. I'm doing fine, and thanks for the heads up about the Dodgers tying it at 2-2. I learned through you saying that I'm a couple seconds behind on my television broadcast.
This is what Kirk's got too.
Pedro, hey, Pedro, he did the same thing to me. He was like 2-2. I'm like, wait, what are you talking about? It's 2. Oh, okay, yeah. He's been spoiling it for us, but it's all good though. Keep it going, Alan. All good.
Pedro, in the commercial break. I basically can't talk about the game because these guys are delayed. I'll try not to be spoiler alert with Turner up. So if anything happens, I'm going to keep my mouth shut.
All right.
But hey, I want to ask you, Pedro, just as we get started, of course, the big news today, it's on the Miami Marlins, and the next 6 games are going to be postponed for them through Sunday. 17 members of the Marlins test positive for COVID-19. You know, Kirk and I spent some time talking about this, and I think we would all be extremely naive, and I'm certainly one, to think that there's not going to be any hiccups that come along the way in baseball, especially the way this thing is structured. When you hear that news about the Miami Marlins, but then you got the rest of, you know, all the other teams that there's no positive tests, how do you balance this? I mean, is there a part of you that says things are going well, or is there a part of you that says, damn, look how quick this thing could just turn like we saw with Miami and, you know, obviously put the league in a tough position?
It's a great question, Alan. I think, you know, it's something that is there's no easy answer. I think we're all, you know, everyone who's taking this sport seriously, who's trying to, you know, enjoy this, but also understand the larger role in society is trying to answer that question for themselves. And I don't know. You know, I think there's a little bit of both. I mean, 17 tests, positive tests on one team is an enormous amount, right? I mean, the league maintains that no one else on any other team has tested positive, although there have been reports on other teams of players falling ill in recent days that cause some reason for skepticism, I think, in those testing records. But still, 17 tests on one team. It means, you know, to any impartial observer, you have to reason that it was spreading like wildfire throughout the roster, which means, as we knew could happen, that this is that the baseball clubhouse and the baseball travel is ripe for spread, which is what none of us want, right? And would, if it happens to more teams, force the league to cancel the season. So it's a short answer, not good. Not good at all, right?
But don't you just feel like Rob Manfred and just hearing his comments from earlier today, or I think it was yesterday, it just seems as if, like, baseball's like, we kind of almost expected this, maybe not to this extreme, but we expected guys to test positive to a point where, hey, let's just let Miami, the Marlins sit out. We're going to power this thing through, and we're going to be all right. We won't be talking about this hopefully a month from now or 2 months from now. We'll be talking about getting ready for a playoff rather than what we, you know, occurred back in late July.
Oh, you're absolutely right that was what he was giving, the vibe he was giving off. I mean, he described 13 players and coaches on this was as of yesterday on right. one team contracting the virus as, quote, not his nightmare scenario, quote, right? And, you know, if you're leading any organization and that happens, you know, I would describe that as my nightmare, right? I mean, I'm sure that would, you guys both would too. That seems like a nightmare scenario, but you're totally right that to him, it seemed like not a big deal. It seemed like what the league expected. And now, of course, it is fair, you know, as a leader of an organization, they had to be prepared for the possibility that people would test positive. And in any subset of society, people will. But 13 in you know, 3 to 4 days into the season, that's I would describe that as a nightmare.
All right, Pedro Mora covers the Dodgers for The Athletic, taking some time to join the Sliwa Show. Alan Sliwa and Kirk Morrison. Fellas, hate to do this. I don't know where you guys are in the game, but it's 4-2 now, Dodgers over the Astros after Bellinger single. Okay, so we got that one in there. Justin Turner had a single prior to that. So Dodgers 4 runs here in the fifth inning. Pedro, what can you tell us on Alex Wood and if there's any further information on Clayton Kershaw? Can you give us an update on that front?
Yeah, it sounds like Clayton Kershaw is going to start real soon for the Dodgers. It sounds like as soon as Friday in Arizona. He's with the team on this road trip and threw a bullpen today, as I understand it. It also threw a short one on Sunday. So if tomorrow he reports feeling well, I would not at all be surprised if the Dodgers have him start that Friday game, which would be in Alex Wood's rotation spot. As far as Alex Wood goes, it's a little less clear how long he might be out. The team says it's not that serious. He had an MRI. It came up negative, but it's been bothering him for a couple of weeks, which is obviously not a particularly encouraging piece of news. He did not look like himself in his season debut, and you know, really every aspect of his pitching looked like something was up. You know, his velocity was down relative to where it had been in spring training. And so it's concerning. It's certainly concerning. It's a little too early to say right now, I guess, exactly how concerning.
How should the Dodgers look at this two-game little series between themselves and the Houston Astros, right? Me and Alan were kind of going back and forth, Pedro, about, you know, how should the Dodgers treat this one, especially knowing about what happened in 2017 and how some legacies were lost. Some legacies were changed because of that series, that World Series loss to the Astros. So how should they play this one out? Do they seek revenge at some point? Will they hit a batter or two? Or they just play it straight up and just beat them into the ground and then maybe take care of business when it comes back to Dodger Stadium? How do you see this little two-game series?
Pedro, just so you know, Kirk wanted an all-out war. Kirk just said, beam every guy. I mean, I've never seen anything like this.
I don't think that's in the protocols, yeah. I think that I'm of a couple minds on this. One is that this is probably the best team the Dodgers are going to play this season. You know, although the Astros are pretty shorthanded on the pitching side due to injuries and whatnot, this is a really good lineup they're facing. And I think to some degree what this is a test of how good this roster is right now, the Dodgers, right? And so I think they're curious, you know, can they beat this team in two games? And I think, you know, they're showing right now with this fifth inning explosion that their offense is still very capable of that. As far as, you know, the revisiting of 2017, I think, you know, I can't get over how different today is than what I thought it would have been the first time the Dodgers returned to Houston after the 2017 World Series, right? I mean, in February, I cannot overstate how surprised I was about how vocal and public the players were with their complaints about the Astros' actions and cheating in the 2017 World Series, right? I mean, it was an ever-present conversation for a steady week plus at spring training. I mean, Cody Bellinger said that Jose Altuve had cheated Aaron Judge out of MVP and all sorts of other stuff. It was a constant conversation. It was clear to me and to everyone that the Dodgers were still very upset about this. But the world has changed since then, right? It's been nearly 6 months. There's so much other stuff to worry about. I just think it's gotten pushed far back in a lot of their minds, but not all of theirs. I mean, Jock Peterson said today that it's still very much important to him, that he feels like, he's made reference a couple times to the Astros having cheated the Dodgers, even today. Yesterday when they arrived in Houston, he Instagrammed a photo of something with the caption "bang" with them landing, in a reference to banging on the trash cans. So there's, you know, it's not, you know, not every man on that 30-man roster feels about this the same way, right? The couple pitchers starting for the Dodgers in the series, Walker Buehler today, Dustin May tomorrow, neither of them pitched in that series. So I think that's, to Kirk's request, I think that's one thing pushing the Dodgers in the direction against the beaning, right? These guys don't have a dog in the fight. They weren't there. Walker Buehler has always tried to stay out of it because he doesn't feel like he has any say in the matter because he wasn't a part of that team. So it's complicated. I think, you know, it might be delayed. Maybe if these teams meet again in the World Series, shoot, in 2 years, 3 years, this year, next year, maybe it'll arise much more then than it will in this little two-gamer.
Dodgers add another run. They're up 5-2 now on the Astros. Top of the fifth, bases still loaded, and Corey Seager at the plate. Pedro Mora covers the Dodgers for The Athletic, taking some time to join the Sliwa Show. Alan Sliwa and Kirk Morrison. Pedro, I want to just get your thoughts on this. Came out on Thursday, the expanded playoffs, 16 teams. What was that? That one I felt like it just came out of nowhere. Was that being negotiated the entire time? Because by the time we got wind that this could happen, the conversation was they have to make a decision on this in 24 hours. And I know there's probably a lot of Dodger fans that aren't crazy to have an expanded playoffs. Just the first round is going to be a 3-game set, so I don't think benefits the Dodgers. But were you expecting that, or did that kind of come out of nowhere for you?
I have to be honest with you. It did come out of nowhere for me. I and a lot of people, I think, had forgotten about it. This had been discussed earlier, you know, mm-hmm. April, May, June. And then it feels like into July, we got preoccupied with, okay, this is actually happening. Let's focus on what we know about what's going to happen. Let's figure out how good these teams are. Let's figure out how healthy they are. Let's figure out how to stop the spread. And then, you know, all of a sudden, on the morning of opening day, it came literally out of nowhere for me, at least. And I was surprised by it. I think it's kind of a ridiculous venture to change that on the morning of opening day. You know, hours before the teams are starting to compete. But it doesn't. You know, it doesn't. Now that I have thought about it longer, it doesn't surprise me that baseball would try to push through something like this. You know, this season is being done because there's profit to be made. And sure. Nothing's more profitable for baseball than the playoffs, right? So they're in the mode of profit making, and this is another scheme. And yeah, like you said, it's not great for the Dodgers, right? Because the Dodgers were already very likely to make the playoffs, and now they're less likely to advance because they're thrust into a shorter series, and shorter series give lesser teams a better chance to unseat the greater teams. So I have to be honest with you, it's an unwelcome piece of news for Dodgers fans, I would say.
Pedro, how do you think how clean has the games been to you so far, right? With you know, such a long layoff from spring training until, you know, the end of July, have you seen clean baseball? Was there still a lot that needs to be worked on, or you're kind of inspired by what you've seen so far?
I would say the baseball has been fine. Not like I wouldn't, if you had showed me just the infield play and the pitching compared to like an average 4 games in July in a typical season, I think I would not have been able to tell the difference.
Right.
I think where you can tell the difference is in the lack of energy in the building. You know, obviously mm-hmm. there's 40,000 less fans there. But players are continuing to remark on this, that they're seeing how much the influence of just the real authentic noise, the real time, real second response to their actions and what fans do and how that motivates them, you know? And so I think the tense moments don't quite feel as entertaining, you know, the late inning at bats when somebody can push one team from behind to ahead, they just don't have the same zing to them right now. You know, and I'm watching these from home. So I just do not have the same sort of, I feel like the entertainment value has been affected, but maybe that's going to change as these guys get used to it. But that's my takeaway so far.
All right. Well, Pedro, we appreciate you taking some time and joining the show. And Dodgers, just a quick reminder here, 5-2 lead. They're going to the bottom of the fifth on the Houston Astros. And Pedro, we appreciate the time, man. Thank you.
Yeah. Anytime, guys. Thanks. Bye-bye.
All right. That's Pedro Moore right there from The Athletic. Okay. Kirk, we got some NFL news. Some money being thrown around in the NFL.
Woo.
And it's being done on a local basis. So let's do this. When we come back, Kirk, I'll have you kind of break down what we got in the NFL. And also, I don't know if you saw the story about Ohio State football, but they supposedly have some type of a game plan where they will let limited fans into these college football games. I don't want to say that sounds comical, but it's to just even think, we're not even sure if we're going to have college football this season. So to play out that scenario sounds like that's probably not the best timing to be announcing that, but they're trying to sell tickets. All that coming up next. Stay here. Alan Sliwa, Kirk Morrison on 710 ESPN.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Kirk, I don't even have to talk about this music. I already got the whole, got the vision in my head. You a New York slice? Are you a pizza guy? Like New York slice or Chicago? Deep dish or thin slice?
Yeah, I'm both. But this one right now, headphones.
Real quick, here's the best part of that. Like, I enjoy pizza, period. But when I say, like, which one would you prefer, I love that both. Like, it doesn't matter.
It don't matter. Chicago style, New York style. Like,
No, New York's better. I love the thin slice. The thin slice is amazing.
I wouldn't mind going down to the bodega and go grab me a nice little sandwich. You know? I'd have been down to a bodega or two in my time over there in New York, so... Shout out, man. I always like that vibe that they always give out.
Oh, no. New York is fantastic. Okay, so we got some NFL news. You want to break down what's going on in the NFL, some of this money being thrown around?
The Chargers and Joey Bosa have agreed to a five-year, $135 million extension. Now, Bosa was going into the final year of his deal, right? He had had the fifth-year option, so he played four seasons already. And he was going to play on his fifth-year option. And they just said, you know what, let's just extend the deal. So he will make – you ready for this?
Please, give it to me here.
All right, just because it's a little bit different. Mm-hmm. He is set to make $135 million guaranteed over the life of a deal. I just want to put that in perspective for a lot of people. Just the guarantee.
How many years?
$135 million extension, okay? But $78 million is fully guaranteed. $102 million is guaranteed. Well, sorry. $78 million just to sign. So no matter what, once he signed his name, he's getting $78 million guaranteed. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But he'll get the full guarantee of $102 million over the course of a deal, right?
So, right, if he's still playing,
he's still on the roster after four seasons. Yeah, he's going to get that money, so it's still built in. But
it's just a 4-year deal.
It's a 4-year deal, which added with the final year of the rookie contract. So he was set to make $14.3 million this year. So what you do is you just sign the extension, so you add that year and five, so they have five more years added on. So basically.
It
turns out to be basically, how I should say this, a 6-year deal for basically $140 plus million, however you wanted to put it. So
you said this a little bit earlier, and I want you to make this comparison. There isn't anybody better than you when it comes down to breaking down the NFL. What does that contract mean for a guy like Aaron Donald?
Well, it means that if I'm Aaron Donald, after this season, I may go back to the Rams and take another look at my contract, especially if Aaron Donald has the season that we all expect him to have. If Aaron Donald goes out and he's player of the year, you know, all pro, Pro Bowl, you know, all the accolades that he gets, he's well within his rights to say, hey, I deserve to be the highest paid NFL defensive player. Like, in 3 years, my contract has been surpassed now. And we were talking about this. Khalil Mack signed his deal minutes after, you know, Aaron Donald signed his. So Aaron Donald was the highest paid defensive player. And then all of a sudden, Khalil Mack was like, all right, my turn. Mm-hmm. But since then, it's been Khalil Mack. It's been, now we know Myles Garrett, the defensive end for the Cleveland Browns a couple weeks back. And then now you throw in Joey Bosa. And we can only imagine what's going to happen after that. You still got Nick Bosa's out there as well, his brother, who is going to be eligible for a contract after, in two more seasons. How crazy is that? Mm-hmm. The Bosa brothers may be a guaranteed over $200 million as a family. That's crazy. And their dad was a former first rounder as well by the Miami Dolphins. But the Chargers throwing out a little money today, Allen, right before, you know, right as training camp starts, because some people thought, you know, Joey Bosa was going to hold out, which he has done before. So I think the Chargers realized it. They're like, we don't want this situation again, because he held out before he came in and he was on fire. They're like, let's just get him signed.
Let's get it done. Yep,
yeah, he's an elite pass rusher, a guy that you want to build around on your defense. And so the Chargers, they got something, they like. It's just crazy that the fans won't be out there to see it.
You know what's? I think for me, it's a little surprising. Let me tell you why. What I mean is the numbers that you're talking about being thrown around, that contract, right? The Bosa contract.
Correct.
We saw Mookie Betts last week, the $365 million 12-year. When I say it's a little surprising, I'm just talking about the kind of the lack of stability right now, if you could talk about just in general, economically, right? Like I
know you're going. Yeah.
I don't know what's going to happen in 6 months. I don't know what's going to happen in a year from now. Michelle Roberts, who is part of the Players Association, she's not part of it, but she's the president of the Players Association.
Right.
She said earlier today, I'll read this quote from her. I just kind of give a quick briefing of it. She says the league might need a bubble for the 2020-2021 season. Like that could happen next year. And the reason why I say I'm a little surprised with some of the money being thrown around, we had a Brian Windhorst on a little bit earlier, and he talked about financially what this could mean for some of the owners. Now, there's owners like Steve Ballmer, who's worth $70 billion, actually worth $10 billion more than he was before we turned to 2020, so he's making money. But other owners, financially, how much different it is. When big money gets thrown around today, I'm a little surprised by it just because of the circumstances.
Yeah, I am too. I really am. But I think when you start to look at some teams, like we got to sign the deal, we're negotiating as if things will change a little, but it won't change a lot.
Sure.
Regardless of whatever you need, you're still going to need this no matter what, right? I don't want to make that comparison, but remember when the pandemic first started, what happened? Everybody went and grabbed what? Toilet paper
and water and
man,
rice.
You got your essentials. That no matter how much money you may have or you budget it for, no matter what, this was always going to be in your budget. Mm-hmm. Joey Bosa is always going to be in your budget if you're the Chargers. Now, you may have to get rid of some other things, right? Maybe some other solid players that you have on your roster. That's something that you can think about. But for the most part, you're like, okay, this guy is an essential part of our team. We need this. And just to think about him, and I was just looking at the Aaron Donald contract a little second ago. I mentioned it before. Joey Bosa's total guaranteed money will be over $100 million.
You know, was Aaron Donald over 100, was it?
No, Aaron Donald's total guarantee at signing, $87 million. So you think about it, in just three short seasons, or actually two seasons, going into the, almost three now, Aaron Donald's, you know,
looks like
record
a steal.
Number. Well, yeah, it looks like a steal. like the Rams are getting over.
Like a steal for the Rams.
It's a steal for the Rams. They're getting over, but that's just crazy to think, you know, just how much things can change that quickly, right? The prices are going to keep going up for these players, and why would they not, right? Like the players, the next agent going to say, I need more than Bosa.
He's
trying to figure out who's the next man up.
Mm-hmm. All right, this we got halftime coming up next. Kirk, let me just throw this out there. I mentioned it. Mario started off the show just throwing promos left and right, as in all we talk about is food. We've made a couple references to food so far this show, but I definitely have a reference of food coming up at halftime. Curtis, you got something over there you want to tease?
It's actually food related too, so we'll just leave it at that.
That's it. We'll leave it right there. Halftime coming up next. Alan Sliwa, Kirk Morrison. This is 710 ESPN.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
All right, Curtis, why don't you start things off, bud?
All right. I know it's been a while since I talked to you guys. So.
It's been a little bit. It's been a little bit, Curtis.
So there's
I haven't
always,
seen you in a while.
There's always a national holiday for something, right? You always see it. There's always something up there. Today, guys, is a National Milk Chocolate Day. It's very specific.
Ooh.
Okay.
But I figured this is a perfect opportunity for us to have that chocolate discussion, you know, where we're at, where we're ranking it and how we feel about it.
Reese's peanut butter cups. That's it.
Say it again. It's national what again?
Milk chocolate day.
Milk chocolate day.
Milk chocolate specifically, but we'll broaden it. We'll broaden the discussion of chocolate in general.
Are you guys, Kirk, are you a milk chocolate guy or dark chocolate?
White chocolate.
Ooh. White chocolate.
Yes.
Wasn't expecting that.
Yeah,
I was not expecting that. You threw me
Hershey's
off.
Cookies and cream.
Yeah, I like the white chocolate, man. White chocolate is good. Like, because my aunt, my mother-in-law, she has those truffles, right? And so she's like, "Oh, you want a truffle?" But it seemed like the white chocolate is always good because it's like a hint of vanilla in there too. You know what I mean? It's just like, it's just not your traditional chocolate. Like for me, could I go out and get a Hershey's Kiss? Oh yeah, that's cool. You know, I could do those, but. Man,
there's something different about white chocolate.
Yeah,
I feel different. You on that. That's white chocolate chips too.
Like white chocolate chips even.
Oh, dude.
No, I disagree 100%. What are you talking about over there, Kirk? You're gonna tell me that white chocolate is better than a milk or a dark chocolate? What kind of blasphemy is this? No, actually, I will say this. I will say, out of all the chocolate, I'm a dark chocolate guy. I could do dark chocolate all day, and I don't care how high the what is it called, cacao, whatever that is that.
Some
is like 50%, some is 70%, 80%. I'm definitely more of a dark chocolate guy. But let's say what are these places like See's Candy? What's one of the malls? Is it See's Candy?
Yes, See's.
Yep, See's.
Bro, I mean, sometimes you walk into those places, I'm like, I don't know what to get here. Everything looks amazing. Everything is in these like small sizes where you feel like you're gonna have 12 pieces before you walk out. That's not safe. That's not safe out there. I don't know if anybody else.
Those boxes with like 20, because there's like half of them have weird fruit filling that doesn't taste right with the chocolate, and it's like a gamble every time you have one. Those ones I'm not a fan of.
How about the you guys ever do the back in the days those caramel apple the caramel apples? And that some of them are dipped in chocolate. You know what I'm talking about with the nuts?
That's a county fair special right there.
Got to add bacon to it, right?
Yeah, that's a county fair special right there, my brother.
I was never big on the caramel.
Oh no, those are solid. Those are solid. You know who does those well? Staples Center. Staples Center. If you're ever up in, if you're ever up in the suite, you guys ever seen those dessert carts that come out? You know what I'm talking about, Kirk?
And on the suite level, yeah.
Yeah,
I know exactly where you like. You got a nice little gait to you, right? You're walking real fast, and all of a sudden, you see the little dessert cart. You're waiting for it to come.
You're waiting for it to come to your suite. Like there's a whole science to the way that thing works. But okay. So today's is National Milk Chocolate Day. Okay, we got it there, Kirk. What do you got over there?
I had a couple things, but I want to stick to this one.
Okay.
Because I haven't talked to you since over the weekend, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, we know that Lou Williams, right? He I don't know how much did you got into this on Lakers.
I just went to go get something to eat. Yep, something to eat.
Yeah, so I believe it was his grandfather who passed away, and he was going to the funeral. He was excused from the bubble for a personal matter. And he decided, while he was out, to go grab some food. The only thing is that when he went to go grab food, he went to grab food at a gentleman's club known as Magic City. Magic City is a place in Atlanta where it's a lot of magic in that city, I'll tell you that.
Mm-hmm.
He took.
You ever heard of this place before?
Absolutely. Yeah, it's in if you're you can't. I think it's like. Every Atlanta rapper has to sign a contract to mention Magic City in a rap that they do at some point. Like every rapper from Atlanta has mentioned Magic City in one rap. It just has to. But Alan, though, he says that so basically how he got outed was Jack Harlow. He sends us
What's Poppin'.
What's Poppin'. It's a little hot song right now. I think it's in the top 10, I believe.
It's a good song.
Right now.
It's not a bad song.
It's actually number two on Billboard.
I didn't know who he was. Mm-hmm. And until they played the song yesterday, Mason and Allen were playing it, and I'm like, oh, that's this song? Okay, that's a good song. Okay, a little catchy.
So he takes a picture with Lou Will. He posts it. Now everybody realizes that, oh, Lou Will is at Magic City. Like, why is he at Magic City?
Sure.
And so,
fair question to ask.
The thing about it was, everybody knows that Lou Will has a set of wings, like actual wings, at Magic City on the menu. They're the Lou Williams lemon pepper barbecue wings.
So everybody knows, or did we just learn this? Because I did not know this prior.
A lot of people know that Lou Will, that's his thing. And people don't know, like, and
he actually said this in an interview in an interview. I think April or like late March, talking about that specifically, that he goes to that gentleman's club for the food because it's within the culture in Atlanta.
Yes.
And he even says that they named wings after him.
Okay.
And so for a lot of people out there who don't know Lou Will, it is highly talked about, and it's also been written about, and it's been joked about as well. But Lou Will has openly, and I think Drake, the rapper, singer, entertainer, is even rapped about it a lot, that Lou Williams actually, I don't know if he still does, but at a time, actually had two girlfriends.
Right, I remember that.
Yeah,
I remember that.
Like two girlfriends, not like, oh, I'm dating this one and... Oh, I'm like, no, they both.
No,
two
girlfriends.
Like two girlfriends.
Yeah, he's got
like
two different
one happy
girlfriends.
Family. Like, yes, hey, these are my girlfriends. They know that we all are together. They were like a three couple. Like, it was amazing. Mm-hmm. So I was just bringing all this up because I thought.
I was trying to figure out. I can't wait for the tie back to this. I want to keep going, but I'm waiting to see how this ties back. Go ahead.
No, I was just giving some backstory for people that just letting know that Lou Will is a guy who. He thinks a little bit differently, but he's an amazing basketball player, should be sixth man of the year again. But, Alan, I would say, what's a place that people may not think of that you get food, that you've been to eat food at? So, I'll preface it by this. Have you ever had gas station chicken before?
I have not had gas station chicken before, no.
Well, down south, and I've been to actually one. I actually had a game this year, Alan, in Michigan. I had a game. It was Eastern Michigan, and they were taking on, I believe, University of Buffalo. So one of my ESPN college football duties. And if there's a gas station and there's a chicken wing spot inside of it or a food spot, always just take a look at some of the locals and the people there. And I went there, and I'm looking at it because my hotel was right next to it, Alan. And I'm like, I'm seeing mad people going in and out. And when I see that kind of foot traffic, I'm like, I got to see what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
I ordered me a nice little 10-piece. Man, gas station chicken. But if you type
a
in
nice
gas
station, a nice little 10-piece. I like that. Okay.
10-piece wing. 10-piece wing. Look, I got some flats and drum.
All right, that
you
makes
know?
Sense. All right,
flats
that makes
and
sense.
Drum. But like, think about some of the oddest places that you've been to go buy food. So that's why I brought it up. The odd place to buy food.
I will say this, Kirk. By the way, and it does sound like, I know I joked around yesterday, but also at the same time, I was serious about the Lou Williams thing. I don't care if he was, you know, at, of course, this became a bigger story because it's a strip club,
right?
And here we are trying to play out this NBA season. I mentioned it yesterday. It seemed careless, didn't seem like the smart thing to do.
Correct.
But the reality is, you know, any restaurant you go to, if you're one of these players, you're outside of the bubble, it's obviously going to be dangerous.
Yes.
But it's supposed to be known for their food, and everybody is talking about, no, literally, their food is really good. You know,
yeah,
what, I'm not
going to sit up here and tell a lie and say I have not been to a strip club and had food there before. Like, I know a couple of them right now
that
I've been to
food.
That when I talk about some of the best food.
Get out of here. Are you serious?
Come on, man. Come on now.
Some of
I'm
the
serious.
Best food at the strip
Alan,
club?
I'm just trying to let you know, man.
Well, and it's smart. It's
smart.
Very smart. But
and then we're
just,
talking about some places that actually, no lie, have some of the best chefs, and we're talking about gourmet cooking. Like, you don't even think about it, but then, like, I went there. I've been to some in Tampa, Houston, Tampa, Houston, Miami.
You took a road trip. You took a road tour around all the different food spots.
You know,
that's
young
what you
single
said, too.
Kirk,
I'm just going to the restaurant.
young single Kirk when he came into the National Football League was able to partake in some of these gentlemen establishments.
That's a different life.
Think about it. I mean, it beats going to a Jack in the Box at 2 a.m, right? You're like, hey, what you doing? Hey, let's Kirk, go over here.
This is the thing that just throws me off, all right? So I understand it, and it's a smart business move to have really, really good food at these gentlemen clubs. And the whole goal is you keep everybody there as long as you can. Casinos, they improve the quality of their food. Like, it's an attraction to keep – food is a big thing for people. So if you got good food, people are probably going to hang out for a lot longer. But what's funny to me is just thinking that somebody's walking in and they're like, sir, would you like a dance or whatever the case is, right? And the guy's saying, no, I'm good. Can I grab some salmon and can I grab some, you know what I mean? Like, it's so random, but I get it. I understand why they do it. And these wings are obviously very popular there. Do you ever watch –
it's not like they're setting you up at the main stage, right? Like, people, like, you know what I mean? Like,
somebody's
you're not
eating ribs
stage.
In the middle of a lap dance. Yeah, that's
it's not like the arm. It's not an arm rail right there, and you're like eating and then, you know, women, right? No. It's certain sections, and it's, you know, you can have a nice little section to yourself and table.
Let me just finish these pork chops, and if you can come back right after.
I mean, it's almost like literally going to a Broadway show at times, right? You have a little section, you sit down, and you can see the entertainment from a distance as well. You eat, so it's not like you're doing both at the same time. But there's also been other places, like in Vegas, you know, sometimes, you know, you can have a little calamari and, you know, at the same time have a friend next to you hanging out. So it can be, it just depends on what you want.
Is there a
Kirk jersey hanging up anywhere at a strip club, like Harden had a jersey retired at one?
No, they would kick me out. They would kick me out because, you know, I'm cheap. I'm too frugal. I'm too frugal to give my money away like that. Like,
Kirk is negotiating.
I'm there to eat. Yes. I am there to eat. I've never been. You could always ask somebody, man, Kirk, you ever been a strip club guy? Just for the food. Just for the food. Have I been, well, you know, with
just like
friends?
Ron Swanson.
Yeah, I'm literally there for the food. Like, people ask me about the trip I went to. I would go to the Playboy Mansion every year for their celebrity golf tournament they would have, mm-hmm. Alan. Mm-hmm. And people are like, man, the Playboy
How good was
Mansion.
The spread?
Playboy
How good was Mansion. The food there? How good was the food there?
That's all I bragged about. I said, man, God rest his soul. But, man, Hugh Hefner,
I would be.
He
I'd
hired
be
the best
you.
Chef. I can tell you, every year, everyone always asks me, man, oh, well, you can't wait to go to that mansion. I said, yeah, the shrimp skewers and the chicken skewers, I would just hang out over there the whole time. Like, Kirk, that's your fifth skewer. I know. Don't worry about what I'm doing, okay?
Don't count my skewers. Don't count my skewers.
Oh, man.
Keep my skewers out of your mouth.
The best food. And think about it. When you leave, and this is for all of us here, like, we've been to some parties and things like that, but think about the parties you've been to that had the amazing food. And when you walk out.
We got some things going on right now. Kirk, we got some things going on right now. We got both benches between the Dodgers and the Astros, and I don't want to stop you here in the middle, but let's just say there's some discussion going on right now, and I don't even know what it's about. You see Correa right in the mix here, but I don't see what happened. But
you don't see what happened? Well, Kelly threw the curveball that went right over the head of Correa. Correa stared him down.
Didn't see that.
And before that, Kelly threw a fastball at Bregman's shoulder.
At Bregman's shoulder. So Kelly is the guy who's standing up for it. So that's what it's all about. Remember, Alan, we were talking about it. Who was going to be that guy? Who was going to be the guy to say, you know what? I'm going to be the enforcer. And it's been Kelly. Kelly's the enforcer tonight. He's the enforcer. Well, he said, look, hey, I'll do the dirty work. Ain't nobody worried about me. Mm-hmm. And that's the kind of guy. Remember, we were talking to Pedro a little bit earlier, Pedro Mora. He was like, you know, some players who really weren't a part of it. Yeah, but it's the players who weren't a part of it are the ones who really say, look, what I got this. Mm-hmm. Like, because I wasn't in it, but I'm about to get involved. And so, like you mentioned, all these the benches have now cleared, and now it just looks like a Rona hotbed right now. A coronavirus
hotbed. Well, let's do this.
Hotbed.
Let's do this. I want to get to that because I want to talk about this Dodgers Astros game coming up or being played right now. But specifically, I got to be honest with you, Kirk. I know we hit on this just a little bit. I don't blame the Dodgers. Like, I don't want to see somebody get hit, but to send some type of a message. against the Astros. I get it. You know, there's still a lot of Dodger players that are frustrated about what happened in 2017. Obviously, they found out about this about 6 months ago. But we're having the conversation saying, do you think anyone's going to get thrown out in this game? That answer or that question has already been answered. We'll talk about that coming up next. Stay right here. Sliwa Show, Alan Sliwa and Kirk Morrison on 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right, so Dodgers have a 5-2 lead against the Houston Astros right now. Mookie Betts on first. He just singled. Muncy at the plate. So, Kirk, we were talking a little bit about this before we went to break. So, Joe Kelly, if I'm correct here, and we were in the middle of halftime, so I wasn't really watching until, you know, both teams kind of got up together. But why don't you kind of set the picture of what happened and, you know, Dodgers – the conversation was walking into this game and tomorrow's game. First time they're facing the Astros since we found out that Astros cheated in 2017. Some tension there.
Yeah, a little tension. Joe Kelly on the mound, and he threw, I think, at Bregman, threw a fastball that almost hit him. And then he tried to throw a curveball to Carlos Correa, and I believe that the ball went over Correa's head, but they show the replay of it, and Correa is staring down, you know, Joe Kelly. And people forget that Joe Kelly was the world champion with the Boston Red Sox a couple years back, right?
He
was with the Red Sox, so he
against
was kind
the
of
Dodgers.
Yeah, against the Dodgers, so he was part of the cheating as well. He was part of, on a team that was part of it. I should say, not necessarily he was doing the cheating, but you know, the Red Sox and Astros are both two teams that are involved in the cheating aspect of the game over the last couple years. But Joe Kelly, and to me, this is also one of those things too, where Joe Kelly comes in, and look, he's a part of his Dodgers team the last two seasons. But yet, it's a situation where, hey, I may not have been a part of the 2017 team, but you know what? There's an opportunity here where I can throw at a guy or, you know, go a little inside more than I should have, right?
Not against it. Don't hurt any player. Don't, you know, obviously go shooting for somebody's head or something along those lines, but I get it. I mean,
think about this though. It's 5-2, right? Bottom of the sixth. It was a perfect spot. That's what I tell you. When I said earlier, you have to pick and choose at what point in the game.
Be strategic with it.
You got to be strategic. You got to be in an opportunity where, hey, you
can
afford to do that. He didn't hit him, but man, he sure did come close. And I don't believe he did, but I think it was him after striking Correa out and walking off the mound and kind of giving him the bad news bears, Little League, said, nah, face. That's what kind of ticked Correa off, and that's what had the benches clearing.
All right, so we'll keep you guys posted. By the way, two on for the Dodgers right now, top of the seventh, Justin Turner. We'll have the first out of the seventh inning. But the Dodgers with a 3-run lead, they scored 5 all in the fifth inning, I believe it was. Mm-hmm. And that's how we're sitting at 5-2. So, Kirk, I want to go to something real quick because we got the Lakers and the Clippers coming up on Thursday. And you and I are going to spend a lot of time tomorrow also previewing this game and spending some time on what this restart is going to mean for the NBA and to get a chance to have the Lakers and the Clippers as part of this doubleheader to be the second game of that, just how big that's going to be for just the league and for all these fans out there. But there may be one player, obviously a key player for the Lakers, Anthony Davis. Lakers head coach Frank Vogel was on a Zoom call a little bit earlier today. It's still a question mark whether Anthony Davis is going to play. Here's head coach Frank Vogel. Okay, we'll get that up in just a second. Curtis, give me the heads up when you have it. So if you remember, Kirk, we had Anthony Davis on Saturday, so a scrimmage. Yeah. By the way, I was back in the office, back in the studio for that
scrimmage. How was that? You never told me how that was.
It was amazing.
Oh, good, like, huh? How was the setup for John and Michael, by the way?
So this is how they did it, okay? So Adam Bronstein was on the board.
Yeah.
Amanda was in the behind him producing. Carlo was kind of roaming around because he was doing some of the social stuff. And then John Ireland and Michael Thompson were in the main studio. Okay, so those two, when they're doing the play-by-play, they're watching the game on a monitor. And they did something similar to that when they were in China. John and MT didn't go to China. They didn't travel with the team. So when Lakers had those preseason games in China, they did that from the Spectrum studio. So I guess you could say they have a little bit of They have a little bit of experience in doing it. I was in that anchor studio that's behind where Amanda would be sitting, where the producer would be sitting. So I kind of have this intimate studio. I got to be honest, the setup's fantastic. And you're just in your own little island. So I did that on Saturday. And Anthony Davis had 9 points and had 10 rebounds in just 9 minutes of play in the first quarter. And let me play. He got poked in the eye, didn't come back after that. Let me play this real quick from head coach Frank Vogel.
Well, he's day to day. And while he's still dealing with discomfort, there is some concern that he could potentially not play Thursday, but we're hopeful that he does, and we'll see how that plays out. You know, he's going to continue to be evaluated each day.
So here's the thing, Kirk. It's a big game. Like, the fact that this is the restart of the season. You got the two best teams, in my opinion, in the entire NBA. The Bucks. After that, it's the Lakers and the Clippers. It's a big game. Except for the fact it's not that big of a game in the standings for the Lakers or the Clippers. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I mean, you want Anthony Davis
Do I take away some of the electricity in that by saying that? But I do feel that way, you know?
No, I just think that obviously, look, it's one of eight. And with this, and I'm going back to what Pedro said.
Game lead for the Lakers, Clippers.
I'm just kind of going back to what Pedro Morris said, right, with the players. It's hard to get energy when the stakes aren't as high. And for the Clippers and the Lakers, are the stakes really that high on Thursday night? No. Are we going to say that this team holds an edge? No. I think we're going to see a basketball game. We know the Clippers won't be at full throttle, won't be at full. The Lakers won't be at full, right? Or, you know, they're going to be missing a couple of guys who had to opt out and or injured.
Had an injury, right, with Rondo. Injury.
So, and you have a couple new guys who are going to be finding their way, who've played extremely well, exhibition, scrimmage, whatever you want to mean, but J.R. Smith and Deion Waiters. So, look, you've got a game that, will it tell me who's going to win a championship? By no means. But to see, we think, two teams that have the strongest shot at winning, yeah, you're going to watch, you're going to stay tuned. You want to see Anthony Davis out there, but to me, it's a good game to watch, but I don't know if it's going to tell me much. It won't be kind of what we saw back in March when those two teams really played, when they were full squads, and it really felt like it meant something because both teams are jockeying for kind of who's the best. And I don't know right now because this game on Thursday will be one that I watch, but I don't know it will tell me anything.
Okay, so that's kind of the point, Kirk, is we'll go back to Anthony Davis. I Mason Ireland, we were talking about this during Crosstalk, and one of the points I was making is you got to just take the precautions. And I'm assuming the Lakers are going to take the precautions on Anthony Davis. Of course, you want to see him play, but the Lakers have a 5.5-game lead in the Western Conference. So this 8-game set that you have, these reseeding, the seeding games, as they're calling them, or whatever the case is, these 8 games are not going to be all that critical. Clippers have already shown and they've already proved that the regular season is just not that important, and they're so stacked and talented. This is a team that obviously kind of sits in a position where they have this luxury of saying, we'll just turn it on whenever we want to. So that's what I'm referring to. I don't know what we're going to see on Thursday. I just wouldn't be surprised if both teams are incredibly strategic with how they play it, and their intentions are, we're just getting ready for the postseason, nothing else. And that's not to say that I don't want to see the Lakers beat the Clippers. I just don't think both teams are going to be bringing out their, you know, their best weapons and their big guns for 48 minutes.
Yeah, I think the competitors, it will take over. Yeah, I think you probably let your bench guys play a little bit more. You know, just kind of get knocked the rust off a little bit. You know, how much do you play LeBron? This isn't a 40-minute game for LeBron or a 35-minute. I think you go out there, you get through what you need to get through, and then you move on from there. So I don't think this is the game that you want to show much. It's just a game that you want to go out there, get the legs right, and feel good about it. You know, you felt good, I think, off the scrimmages. They looked good, right? You didn't seem like you guys were too rusty at all. I think you kind of have a similar plan in these next eight games just to get you in unison, get the chemistry back as much as possible, because I think the intensity we'll see in the playoffs is going to be a lot different, right? I think the intensity is going to be like no other, right? Like a college atmosphere. I've been liking it to like the NBA, or not the NBA, the NCAA tournament, right? Because you got everybody's just right there. Everybody's going to be there. You're not going to have a ton of – ain't going to be no fans. It is just the energy of the squads that are there, and you can feel the tension. That's what I'm looking forward to.
Kirk, 100%, when I go back, when these gyms reopen and we get the opportunity to play, you know, full court again,
yeah,
100%, I'm pulling a hamstring within about the first 9 minutes. 100%. Right. There's no question about it. Okay, Kirk, so LeBron also spoke on the Zoom call earlier today, and he talked a little bit about just the emotions before the Thursday tip-off. I want to play that when we come back. Also, Zach Lowe was on the Jump, talked a little bit about how the players were more concerned about getting injured than actually COVID-19, which seems probably a different story when it comes to baseball. So all that coming up next. Appreciate you guys tuning in. We'll go till 9 o'clock tonight. Alan Sliwa and Kirk Morrison on 710 ESPN. Man, it's kind of crazy, Kirk. We went from, you know, I know we've been doing the show now for the last couple of months or so, but just kind of think about MLS was getting ready to start. And I know you're a big MLS guy, and you're going to break it all down in just a second. just before you do, Kirk, let me get a couple words in. I'm going to let Kirk go for 10 minutes. He's got this whole rant that he wants to do on MLS. But, Kirk, do you remember that we were talking about MLS just starting back up, right?
Yeah.
I was excited about it. I was like, all right, okay, we got some live sports coming. And, you know, LAFC's got another game coming up this Friday. They'll be yesterday was a knockout round of 16, so now there'll be eight teams left. But we were getting ready to kind of just get prepared for live sports again. Now, look where we're sitting. We're talking about all show. We've been talking about the Dodgers and the Astros. One of the great things about doing this show, one of the ideas was a lot of times the show is going to be on, it's going to be in the middle of a game. So if somebody's driving around, they want to hear the banter and the conversation that we're having about all sports, and we continue to give them updates. And then here we are previewing the Lakers and the Clippers coming up on Thursday. Like it's weird in a sense, but it also brings some normalcy back to sports fans that we're actually getting a chance to talk sports again. And today is it's as good as it gets. We got Dodgers baseball, like I mentioned, the MLS games, and then two nights away, Lakers and the Clippers.
Yeah, I mean, it's that time now.
How about this journey? Jesus.
Man, it's come a long, long way, man. Whew. I would say, you know, finally watching this now, and I told you that Major League Baseball had about a week and to capture my attention. Has it captured my attention, Alan? No, it hasn't.
Mm-hmm. Why is that?
Well, I'm not feeling it yet. The storylines aren't there. You know, Dodgers and Astros should be a lot bigger, and it, to me, is just another game right now. It's one of 60. I don't see the importance. You know, Kershaw's been out. Alex Wood's out now. So you're starting to see that. Then you have what's been going on with the Miami Marlins. Does that make me want to watch it? Does it make me want to turn it off? And it just kind of has made me just like, it's whatever. I'll watch it because it's on.
But you're right, a casual fan. You're a casual fan. There are a lot of Dodger fans or just baseball fans that I think are, I got to imagine, Kirk, they're glued in.
I think they're glued in until the NBA, until the NBA's on. I mean, just be honest. Like,
but you and I, like, that's going to be you and me. So right now, if there's an 11 o'clock Utah Jazz Rockets game, I'm going to be watching it. Like, I'm into that.
Right.
But there's a big contingency that just having baseball back, I think you'll be surprised how many fans are going to be watching this 60 game run, which, by the way, is going to include 16 teams in the postseason. I mean, I like the setup. I've never been a fan of the 162 games. It's too long of a grind. I like smaller sample size.
I'm not saying that people are going to be turned off. I'm just saying, like, for me, it didn't capture me, right? Like, it didn't capture me. I'm seeing guys who have opted out. I'm seeing guys who are now injured when the season has now started. So maybe it can pick up, it can build up. But I think that, you know, my attention will focus now more on basketball. In less than 48 hours, we get the chance to watch, like I just mentioned, a couple teams that aren't really necessarily playing for much right now, but to just watch them go out and compete and watch, you know, the better players in the NBA, whether it's Kawhi and LeBron, Paul George, Anthony
Davis.
Never heard of them. Like the star power will be there. And for me, you know, Major League Baseball, they're trying. They're hoping for the best, and I get it. But, you know, opening night, it was like, oh, game rained out. Like, come on.
That's
man.
Right. How about that?
You know, you forgot about that.
Opening night with six innings or whatever it went. Yep.
And Anthony Fauci throwing a ball almost worse as 50 Cent's opening pitch, right? First pitch.
I think it was worse.
No, 50 Cent sounds worse.
Yeah. 50 Cent definitely holds that.
That's the reason why. Like, for me, I feel like the NBA is going to give me a lot more, obviously, because they're closer to their playoff. Is going to hurt, I mean, help them out even more. So I'm looking forward to just more of the NBA because the storyline will be there, right? Like for baseball, if you think about this whole entire offseason, Alan, what's been the biggest storyline outside of COVID? I'm just putting you on the spot. Baseball's biggest headlines outside of COVID was what?
I think it was the Dodger trade for Mookie Betts, Garrett Cole's probably contract.
That's number two.
With the Yankees.
And what else? And cheating.
And the scandal.
And that's it.
No, actually, that's number one.
Scandal's number one. Other than that.
And Rob Manfred just making a complete fool of himself probably 34 times over the course of the offseason.
But with the NBA, what has it been, right? The whole entire season. Like LeBron, I give him so much credit because he's carrying the NBA like no other, right? He's carrying the NBA because he goes to the Lakers and it's can he regain what the Lakers once had?
Can he win another championship dynasty? That unbelievable franchise, can he bring them back to life? Mm-hmm. Can he make it happen in the Western Conference? Anthony Davis comes to the Lakers. Mm-hmm. No, listen,
Kawhi Leonard win a third championship for a third team and a third Finals MVP? Wow, who can say that they've done that? Nobody.
James Harden and Russell Westbrook on the same team. I can't argue with that. The NBA knows how to make storylines, and that's the way to do it. Let me play this real quick because LeBron James, who was this morning. By the way,
sitting on his throne.
I was gonna say, did you see that chair? This dude was straight up on a throne chair. I'm like, where did this come from? This just happened to be in the bubble. Let me play LeBron. LeBron talking about the process, his emotions before Thursday's tip off.
I have no idea. You know, obviously it's a different circumstance. It's different. I mean, that's for 2020. You know, people have been asking me, like I said, how was the bubble, and I said it's 2020. You know, everything is different and is you have to be able to adjust to it. So I don't know as far as, you know, if it was like a home game at Staples Center, they won't have that feeling because our fans just give us so much energy. Our fans give us so much support and we want to try to give that back to them on the floor. But also at the same time, we know our fans back in L.A. and all over California and over the world are looking forward to seeing us play again. So, you know, it's still our job to go out and perform because they're still supporting us behind their, you know, phones or tablets or TVs or, you know, laptops or whatever the case may be.
Everybody's going to be watching Kirk. And what's interesting, what he just mentioned right there, I've always had the assumption walking into the season that I didn't think the regular season was going to be that important for the Lakers just because, look, this is a veteran team. LeBron's there. AD's there. This team's stacked. They just want to be healthy for the playoffs. That's not how they approached the season. They did care. LeBron was playing big-time minutes in meaningful games. When I say meaningful, as in, like, the opponent is not all that good, but he was still putting up 35 minutes or whatever the case is. Now I actually kind of look at these eight games that the Lakers have. Maybe that strategy doesn't change for the Lake Show. Maybe they, you know, decide that these are still going to be important for them just to kind of have a flow going into the postseason. But I want to play one more thing real quick. So Zach Lowe, who was on The Jump, ESPN NBA scene writer Zach Lowe, you know, there's so much conversation about COVID-19. He said it was actually different for the NBA, that more players were actually more worried about just getting injured than getting COVID.
I can tell you the sports science people I know around the league were more worried about that than players contracting the coronavirus, just 4 months off rapid ramp up. And none of these injuries appear to be serious, but when I hear calf, I hear groin, that stuff makes me a little bit nervous because those are the kind of soft tissue strain tear injuries that the trainers were really, really worried about. So fingers crossed, none of these appear to be serious, but this was a big worry, like RJ said.
All right, that's Zach Lowe right there. Is that kind of crazy? Like, here we are in the middle of COVID-19. Everybody's in a bubble, but I also get it and I understand it that, you know, players like LeBron and Anthony Davis and really all these players, Kawhi, Paul George, go down the list. It could be a top-notch player. It could be a player that's more of a role player. For the NBA, they have this bubble so far in control that it's more about are these players good enough their body-wise rather than COVID.
Yeah, I mean, that's the hard part is – getting your body back into the rigors of a season, right? You took a lot of time off, and always that's the thing I know in NFL circles, what we're always aware of are the soft tissue injuries, calves, groins, hamstrings. You know, those are the types of injuries that you get primarily because the body has been sort of taking a rest, and now all of a sudden you try to wrap it up, you know, ramp it up really, really quickly, especially for the NBA players who at a time right now. Let's just say traditionally, they are always at this point in time kind of just doing low impact workouts, rehabbing their bodies, you know, still, you know, maybe playing a little pickup here and there, but more so fine tuning skills. And this year, they're not doing that. They're at a time where they are actually playing full on 5-on-5, and they're about to play for a championship. So this is more extensive. Remember, I think what the Olympics usually are about over right now, even if you did play for Team USA or your country for a lot of these NBA players. So right now, they're trying to push their bodies through a time in which their bodies usually will be taking a rest.
All right, so Kirk, let's do this. Obviously, the story of the day, I want to circle back to it a little bit. The big news out of Miami, big news for Major League Baseball, 17 total members of the Miami Marlins tested positive for COVID-19. Jeff Passan, who was on SportsCenter, talked a little bit about, you know, what this outbreak means for Major League Baseball. And also Nationals manager Dave Martinez talked a little bit about the outbreak and his concerns along with player concerns. We'll play all that coming up next. Dodgers up 5-2. They're in the top of the eighth inning, one on and one out. We'll keep you posted on this game. Stay right here. This is the Sliwa Show on 710 ESPN. All right, Dodgers looking to end this game. They're up 5-2, two on in the top of the eighth, and two outs. So Dodgers taking care of business in this first of two games in Houston. Okay, so the big story that obviously has dominated the sports world today, Kirk, everybody knows now, Miami Marlins are going to miss the next six games. Those games will be postponed through Sunday. Their schedule will be 17 total members of the Marlins tested positive for COVID-19. Let me just play this real quick. Here's Jeff Passan, how Major League Baseball, how they can make this season continue to be fair after the Marlins outbreak. MLB is going to have to embrace the chaos. Jeff Passan was on SportsCenter.
It's not going to be. It's not going to be everyone playing 60 games. It's not going to be everyone playing 30 home games and 30 road games. And all we have to do is look back a week ago to all of the consternation about where the Toronto Blue Jays were going to play. First, it was going to be in Toronto, and then it was going to be in Pittsburgh, and then it might be in Baltimore, and it turns out it's going to be in Buffalo, but it's not going to be in Buffalo until they get the lights at the stadium up to standard. This is 2020 in a nutshell. It is chaos. It is not understanding what's going to be going on within 24 hours, let alone 24 days. And Major League Baseball, if it wants to get a season in, is simply going to have to embrace the chaos. And it's a bad kind of chaos because it's coming in the middle of a pandemic. It's coming with people traveling around the country and being exposed to the virus like the Marlins were. And that is what makes it so difficult to swallow that nobody knows what's coming next.
All right, that's Jeff Passan right there on SportsCenter. Kirk, that in a nutshell is how baseball is going to have to play the rest of their season. And I did mention Dodgers with a 5-2 lead. They're going to the bottom of the eighth. But it's kind of the world we're living in. And I hope if you'd have told me that not each team is going to play the same amount of games before the season, I'd be like, what the hell are you talking about? But now it makes sense. And this is probably what is going to be the new norm for baseball.
Yeah, it's going to be the new norm. But then also, too, let's talk about this, Alan. It's just, hey, move forward. You got to just keep moving on. Like, it's not going to be something that is going to be perfect. Mistakes will be made. Mistakes will happen. But the only thing I've seen baseball do is just power through it. Like, this is how it's going to be. Same thing with the NFL. Everyone told them not to start the season, not to have free agency, a draft. And it's like, we're going to find ways to do it. We're going to get this thing in. And that's what I think just professional sports right now, that's the mindset. Just push this thing through.
All right, Kirk, we're back at it tomorrow, my man. Thank you for doing this. LA, as always, we greatly appreciate it. We'll see you tomorrow.